Hi, this is Pastor and Bible teacher Warren Hoyt, welcoming you to another audio message of the Word of God, which according to Acts 20:32 is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among God's people. I want to read to you several passages of Scripture today, and you can turn to them or you can just listen to them. Always remember, if you ever want the notes from sermons, you just let me know and I'll send them to you. Someone asked last week, I sent them my notes, and that way you can have all the Scriptures. The first ones I want to share with you are all from 2 Timothy. It's kind of interesting. There's one from 2 Timothy 2:15. There's one from 2 Timothy 3, it's verse 16. And then there's one from 2 Timothy 4, verses 1 through 3. So it's 2 Timothy, Paul's letter to Timothy, his son in the Lord. But it's chapter 2, 3, and 4. And then I'm going to read you a little passage from John 21. So first, 2 Timothy 2:15. All these I have here are the New International Version. And by the way, I recorded a teaching on our website about the different versions of the Bible. So if you'd like to know about that, I recommend go to the Beverly Hills website, bhccfl.com, and look for teachings, and you can find the one I did on versions. It's audio, and it'll tell you some things about how we got the different versions and whether you can trust them or not and things like that. But anyway, I'm reading from the NIV today, the 2011 NIV. 2 Timothy 2:15, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a workman who doesn't need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth. Now we go to chapter 3, verse 16, and there Paul said, all scripture is God-breathed or inspired of God and is useful for correction and for teaching and for rebuking and so that the people of God may be thoroughly equipped. All scripture is inspired, all of it. And the Greek words there actually mean God-breathed. God breathed out the scriptures to us. Then in 2 Timothy 4, Paul says to his son Timothy, in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing in his kingdom, I give you this charge. Preach the word. That means proclaim. Preach means proclaim the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. Now, the other passage is from John 21. And it's when Jesus appeared to his disciples, or some of them anyway, after his resurrection. And verse 15 there, John 21:15 says, when they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these, the other people, the other things of the world? Yes, Lord, he said, you know I love you. And Jesus said, feed my lambs. Again, Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me? He answered, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said, take care of my sheep. The third time he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, do you love me? He said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. And so today I want to share with you kind of an unusual message. Maybe it's a little bit, I don't know if you've ever heard anything like this before, but I want to share with you a little bit about the work of a pastor or a preacher and how we work, or at least how this one works. And the reason I want to share with you is so that you'll understand some things, but also I want to share with you because you have a part to play in it. You might not know that, but I want to share with you how it works a little bit so that you can understand some of the things that pertain to you. In other words, your part in this and how it affects you and how you're to respond to it and so forth. I preach here, I've been preaching for about a year, I guess, right? And now, and for a few months, I've been preaching up the street. Right after here, I go and preach in Spanish, another message up there. So it's kind of hard for me. I have to do two messages a week. Because why? Because they're different from you. They're different people in a different place. and I don't feel I can give the same message. It's just a strange thing I can hardly explain, but it's like, I think I've done two of the same messages here and there, because there were two different messages I did where it's like, this one can go there too. But a lot of times they can't. And so I've really been wrestling with this a lot, like, what do I preach to these people? And I've been asking God about this for 40 years. And he hasn't really told me real clearly. He's given me certain ideas over the years, but I'm not sure about them. I probably won't be sure about them until I get there with him, you know. But some things I do know. Some of the things we read here today, I can be sure of. God spoke to this through Paul. He wrote this letter to this young preacher named Timothy. He was in charge of a church in Ephesus at the time, and Paul told him things that he felt were important. And he told him, you know, what we've read here. He says, you need to do your best to present yourself as a workman who's approved of God. You need to work hard on your preaching. You need to study, and you need to handle the Word of God, the Word of truth, correctly. So a preacher has a big responsibility. They're supposed to study the Word and be careful what they say about it, make sure they present the right thing. And they're supposed to feed the flock of God with the Word. Jesus told Peter there, feed my sheep, take care of my sheep, feed them, you know. So we feed the people the Word of God. And we need to study carefully so that we bring out the right things and handle it the right way. It's interesting to me that there in the last verse in 2 Timothy in chapter 4 that I read to you, Jesus said there's going to come, Paul said there's going to come a time people won't listen to the truth. They'll want preachers to tell them what they like. And that's why some of the biggest churches today are made up of, well, they have pastors that tell people things they like to hear. You can be a millionaire. You can have your best life now. You can be a success in everything. God wants you to be totally happy. He wants you to be totally healthy. He wants to give everything to you. He'll give you a lot of bennies if you come to him, and that kind of thing. And even a lot of false teaching has gone out today. There are whole segments of the Church of Jesus Christ that really are not even teaching Christianity anymore. They're teaching some really false things. But the thing is, we're to proclaim the Word. Some people, there'll come a time they don't want to hear the truth, but we got to teach the truth. And it's interesting to me that in that place there in 2 Timothy 4, he said, preach the Word, and he said, correct, rebuke, and encourage. So a lot of people think a preacher should just encourage, but that's not what Paul said. He said, you don't just encourage, you also correct and you rebuke. And in the Amplified version there, it says, you as a preacher are to tell people in what way their lives are wrong. So the preacher has got to not just encourage, but also tell you things that are wrong. So you'll see this in the book Acts. Paul would tell people, you practice idolatry. That's wrong. He even told non-Jewish people who knew nothing of the Old Testament or anything. He told them they were idolaters and that was wrong and that God was going to judge them for that. And so there's different things that come from the Word of God. And in the Word of God, you'll find a lot of encouragement, but you'll also find a lot of warnings, a lot of rebukes, a lot of correction. You'll find very comforting passages, but you'll also find very terrifying passages. And just the last couple of weeks, I've shared some of the terrifying ones with you. I shared with you that one verse from Hebrews that says it's a horrendous thing or a dreadful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. And I shared with you about the judgment and so forth. Now in Luke chapter 1, verse 2, Luke called preachers servants of the word. In the NIV, it says that. So I'm actually to be a servant. I serve you, but I serve the Lord at first. And I try to serve you as the Lord would have me serve you. So I have to, and I have to serve the Word. I'm a servant of the Word. So I'm supposed to study the Word and apply myself diligently to the Word and make sure that I know the message and that I can communicate it to you. But I got to tell you, it's not easy. Think about this. There's 66 books in the Bible. There's 1,189 chapters. There's 31,102 verses. I looked that up on Wikipedia, and that's what they say. I don't know if that's true, but it sounds right to me. I didn't count them all, but it's probably right, you know. 1,189 chapters, 31,102 verses. Now, I'm sure there's a lot of verses in there I couldn't come up with a message on. It'd be pretty boring or pretty hard or whatever, but I guarantee you I could come up with a message on a whole lot of those verses. So there's 31,000 verses. I could come up with a lot of messages. I was thinking like, well, you know, what do I preach to them? What do I preach to them? There's 66 books. I could have 66 messages if I just gave you one message from every book. But can you imagine just bringing one message from Genesis, one message from Hebrews or Revelation? I mean, there's way too many in there. I don't want to bring you just one message. That would take us 66 weeks to do one message. But, you know, that would stretch out for a long, long time. And gee, how limiting that would be to give you one message from every book of the Bible. Right? It might be kind of fun to try it, but I feel like, you know, it might bore you. We might be going into things you don't need to know and so forth. I got to tell you, I preached from the book of Matthew in my last church. There's 28 chapters in the book of Matthew, but I preached 75 messages from Matthew, and I could have had more. I preached 75 messages. I just stayed in Matthew. Now, we broke up for like 4th of July, Mother's Day, you know, Father's Day, things like that. I would bring a different kind of, and some event that happened, I'd preach on something else. But it was 75 weeks of messages on Matthew. Now, John MacArthur out in California, he spends like, 8 years on Romans. For 8 years, he was preaching just Romans. I could easily do 8 years preaching through Romans. Martin Lloyd-Jones, one of the greatest preachers that ever lived, was in England and Westminster Chapel. He preached like 8 years on Romans, 12 years on some other book and so on. These guys have their doctorates. They're heavy into it. They study it. They preach. And their churches are big, so it's not boring. People didn't dislike it. They came. They wanted to learn. So years of time on different books of the Bible. And so all that being said, I just want you to understand there's a lot there. And I'll never run out of stuff to preach. I could just open the Bible and stick my finger down and say, I'll preach on that. And there'd be something there, I'll guarantee you, you know. And so I'm not going to live long enough to give you all that's in there. And you're not going to live long enough to listen to it. So when you're thinking, what are you going to preach? You got to think, you know, I got to preach what's most important, right? What parts are most important? Paul said all of it was inspired, right? But yeah, it's all inspired, but, you know, there's parts in Leviticus that talk about if you have leprosy, you know, what to do about it and things like that. And so I don't think that's probably that important here. It's also interesting to me that in the book of Acts chapter 20, verse 27, Paul was talking to the elders of the church at Ephesus, which is in Turkey there. Today it's Turkey. And he said, I have not hesitated to give you the whole counsel of God. And so if you read his story with Ephesus, he was only there, you know, like a couple years at the most, and maybe less. So he said, I gave you the whole counsel of God. And in Thessalonians, it's only like he was only there a little while, but he was already telling them about the last days and everything. Some people would say the last days, man, that's complicated stuff. You don't need to get to that. I mean, but he taught them the whole thing in a matter of weeks or months. And so, you know, even though there's a lot there, it's like an infinite ocean, there's an infinite amount of stuff in the Word of God. What are the most important parts? Well, obviously, the most important part is the New Testament, right? Because we live under the new covenant today. So what I got to do is mostly make sure that you get the New Testament, that you get the gospel, that you understand why Jesus came, who he is, what you have to do in order to be right with him. Why did he come? You know, I got to preach the gospel to you. The gospel is the story of how you get right with God. That's what it's about. So that's the most important thing. That's what Paul spent, 16 chapters in Romans talking about. Why Jesus came, who he was, how you get right with God through him, and so forth. And so, I've tried to preach that here. The basic idea is, you're going wrong. You're a sinner. We're all sinners. We're going wrong. All of us. We're born going wrong. We're born going astray. The motherboard is cracked. There's something wrong. You have original sin. You're condemned. You're not going to make it. You can't keep the law of God. You're not good enough, so you need a Savior. Christ is the Savior. He died for your sins. You need to believe that. Just like the people in Noah's day had to believe the ark would save them and get in. You have to believe that and get in. You have to make sure you do it personally. You have to ask the Lord to forgive you your sins. You have to express your faith in Christ. You have to trust him, deny yourself, take up the cross, follow him, become one of his disciples. You got to submit to him as Lord. It's the kingdom of God. We preach the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God means God is king. You have to surrender and obey the king, right? He's going to come back someday. He's going to judge the living and the dead. We have to be right with him. So that's the main part of the message, right? That's the main thing. So I feel like I've been here a year. I've done that. I've been preaching that. And I gave you a whole series on the life of Christ. And I talked about Christ a lot and what he did, even today in the communion. And so that's what I've been trying to do, teach you the main essence of the New Testament. And now you know how we're going to go forward as a church. Hebrews tells us we're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. We need to keep meeting and keep learning and keep encouraging one another to do what God wants us to do. And we need to fulfill the Great Commission, telling other people about the Lord, right? So that's what I've been doing. I feel like if I was struck dead or if I was killed in an accident or something, I did what I could do here. So I'm not saying I'm leaving, but I'm just saying, best that I know how, I've been trying to give you what I think I'm supposed to give you. Now, I just want to say something about, there's different ways, and I want you to understand, there's different ways in which God's message and God's word is conveyed. In the Old Testament, you have both prophets and priests, right? Priests were of the tribe of Levi, so they're called priests and Levites. So you had two different kinds of ministry, even in the Old Testament. And the priests and Levites, basically, the main thing they did is officiate in the tabernacle and then the temple, so they offered sacrifices. So their thing was to offer the sacrifices so people could have their sins atoned for. So as the people of God, if they were going to walk with God, they needed to have their sins atoned for and to be cleansed so that they could stay with God. That's what the whole Old Testament was about, the tabernacle and all that. It was about God wants to be with you, but you can't be with him. You're sinners, so therefore you have to sacrifice. Blood sacrifices. You have to offer all these sacrifices. And you can't come yourself. A priest has to do it. And they did it every day, and then they did it once a year, Yom Kippur. They did for everybody, the whole nation of Israel, and atoned even for themselves, the priests. So you had priests that offered sacrifice so that they could have their sins cleansed away, at least symbolically, ceremonially, but also as an example for us in the New Testament, so we'd know that, that was like all a foreshadowing, right? You offer bulls and goats and stuff, but actually it's pointing forward to Jesus. He's going to give his blood, his body, like we celebrated today. So all of that was to atone for sin, but also to point forward to what Messiah was going to do. Now, those priests and Levites, though, they also did something else. They taught the Torah, the Word of God, the law. And lots of different scriptures show that. In Exodus 18 and also Leviticus, you have Moses, who was a Levite, teaching the people. He taught them the Torah, And in Deuteronomy 33:10, it says that was the work of the Levites. They were to teach God's people the law. In Nehemiah, you see Nehemiah, who was a Levite, and he was a priest and a scribe, a student of the word. And there, Nehemiah, when God's people came back from exile, he taught them the Word of God, and he had three or four other guys with him that were Levites. And they stood on this platform and they taught the Word of God from morning till afternoon. And the people sat there and listened. They taught them the Word of God and said what it, you know, explained what it meant. So Levites taught you the Word. They just went through it and taught it from beginning to end. Today we're doing chapter 1, tomorrow we're doing chapter 2, whatever. They taught it systematically like that. They had to teach it all. Prophets, on the other hand, had a different function. Prophets only came on the scene at special times. Like Moses was a prophet too. He was sent when God was going to get the people of Israel out of Egypt, right? God spoke to Moses in the burning bush. He said, I'm going to send you. And so he was a prophet and a priest. So a special time. You go down there and tell them what I'm going to do. And you lead them out. And you give them my covenant. So he did both. He's a priest and a prophet. He taught, but he also prophesied. But after him, when prophets came on the scene, mostly what they did is rebuke people and call them back to God. Because God gave them the covenant with Moses, and then they'd go astray. So a prophet would come on the scene and say, you're not doing right, you better turn back. And the word repent means turn back. It's shuv in Hebrew, turn back. So Ahab and Jezebel, they were wicked. They were leading Israel astray. So God sent Elijah. He said, there's not going to be any rain until I say, and he disappeared. You guys are going wrong, you're going to be punished until you repent. And so through him, God called Israel back, right? And there were various prophets like that. Now, it's interesting, prophets, because they had a word that would be the particular word for a particular need. You ever notice that in the story of Israel, you would have kings who did what was right and you'd have kings who did what was wrong? And did you ever notice both of them would have problems? So these preachers today that tell you if you accept Christ, you'll never have problems, they just don't read the whole Bible. They're missing it. Both people doing what's right have problems, and people doing what's wrong have problems. Problems are part of life, right? You'd have good kings and an enemy would come with a huge army and they would be in danger. You would have a terrible calamity coming upon them, even famines and stuff like that. You'd have that happen to evil kings too. So the different kings and the people, they'd be in different conditions at different times. Sometimes they were obedient, sometimes they weren't. When you'd have an obedient king and something bad would happen, the prophets would encourage them. They'd say, you've been doing what's right, king, so don't you fear. God is with you. He's going to lead you out. You won't even have to fight. Like Jehoshaphat, he was a million-man army came up against him. And he was terrified, and a prophet said, you don't even have to fight in this battle. God is going to deliver you. Because Jehoshaphat was doing what God wanted. See? But other kings, you know, Zedekiah, for example, Jeremiah told him, you're going to be destroyed. Babylonians are going to come and destroy this place because you don't do what God says. So the prophet would have a message depending on the situation. You're in sin, he rebukes you. He tells you this bad thing that's happening is because you deserve that. You brought this on yourself. You're not in sin, you're doing what's good. God, the prophet says, God's going to help you, don't be afraid. But you see how those messages would vary according to the need? Very important. Now, come back to pastors and preachers, what we do. Some people think that all pastors or preachers are supposed to be like prophets, that we're like prophets today. And so some people think that we are people who we hear from God, and each message we bring each week, that's what God's saying to you, you know. And, you know, it depends on what kind of denomination you're from. But some people today believe that all the supernatural gifts went away in the first century. I don't believe that. But there's millions of Christians who believe that. And if they believe that, then when they read in the New Testament about prophecy, and you should, like 1 Corinthians says, you should desire to prophesy. Those folks think that what that means is preach. That's preaching. That prophesying today is preaching. And so you should ask God to let you preach and give you good words to say, the words that he wants you to say. I totally believe every pastor should always be praying, God, give me the words you want me to say. You know? But I don't think preaching is the same as prophesying. Why? Because, see, if you prophesy, God comes on you and gives you the words. You don't write notes. God gives it to you. You think Jesus had notes when he preached? Nah. You think Jeremiah did? Nah, they didn't have any notes. Why would they need notes? God's telling them what to say, and they say it, man. It's flowing right out of them. You don't have notes. But the verses we read today, Paul said to Timothy, you study to show yourself approved. Pastors have to study. They prepare sermons. We work on them during the week. We read, we study, we pray. What does this verse mean? What does that verse mean? What do you want me to say, God? We're doing all that. Okay? So prophecy and preaching, they're two different things. They're two different things. Now, my years of ministry have convinced me of a few things. One thing is I'm convinced there are prophets still today. I've met some of them. I think I've shared with you a few of the different prophecies that I've received over the years. And I've been under pastors who were like prophetic. Every message they got, it was kind of like God told them that week, stuff for the people there. But I've learned that I'm not one of those guys. I'm not one of those guys. Now, God can give me something that's specifically for you. But he doesn't want me sitting around saying, what do you want, what do you want, what do you want? And nothing comes. He doesn't usually do that. It's just like miracles. God can do miracles, but he doesn't usually do them. He does them from time to time. He does them when he chooses. He doesn't do them every day. So, you know, you can't sit around and wait for that. I have to study, think, pray, prepare, start writing, do a series. I'm going to speak on this. I'm going to teach this book. I'm going to whatever. Now, sometimes he'll give me stuff. And sometimes, even when I'm preaching, I got to get away from my notes and he gives me something else right then. He can do that, whatever he wants. That's not how it usually works, right? Now, if you want to see an example of prophetic type preaching, you look at Revelation 2 and 3, not now, but I'm just telling you, for example. In Revelation 2 and 3, John wrote to the churches of Asia, seven churches. And you'll notice there, he had seven little letters to seven churches and they were all different. So some of them were doing everything right, and God said, I'm pleased with you, and I'm going to be with you, and I'm going to help you, and so on. Others were doing some right and some wrong, and he told them, you have this and this, it's good, but you got that and that that are wrong, and if you don't correct that, I'm coming, and I'm going to be judging you. So you better shape up. And there was one church, he told them, nothing you do is right. I'm taking away your candlestick if you don't repent. And they didn't, and there's no church there today. They're gone. All of them are gone. That's prophetic speaking and writing, preaching. That's a guy telling people, you have this right, you have this wrong. God says this, you better correct this. You better, I'm pleased with you for that, right? So it's interesting, you know. Depends on where you're at. So I don't sit around and wait for that. Sometimes I feel inspired, and it's like he's telling me, do this, and I'll do it. But that's not how I usually operate. I teach through books. Like I said, I taught through Matthew for 75 messages. And I've taught through many books of the Bible. I do chapter 5 this week. Next week it's chapter 6. I'm teaching Acts over here. I've been teaching through there for weeks and weeks and weeks. I'm teaching through the book of Acts. And when I do that, it's pretty cool in my view. I don't know if the people think so, but to me, I study a lot and I write up all the notes. I can show you. I have pages and pages of notes. But when I teach it, sometimes I take a sidetrack. I go off on something else I didn't plan. And I always pray on the way over here, God, you know, speak what you want through this. Edify the people. Give me what you want. Say what you want. And he does. And I feel like he does. And sometimes I don't even say much about the stuff I'm teaching. I go on another track. But I got all the notes. I studied. I wrote it out. But he takes me a different direction. There's certain stuff I've taught for years. I've taught evangelism in over 85 schools. And I got to tell you, every single time I teach it, it comes out different. And I got it all written down, but it still comes out different. I got it all written down, but it still comes out different. The only thing I can figure is the people are different. And this group needs me to emphasize that more, and this group needs me to emphasize that more, and so on. You can have it all written. I'm just telling you how it is for me. Maybe it's different for other guys. They just read it. You know, years ago in the 1700s and all, preachers just read the whole thing. I don't do that. I write the notes and I just glance at them and I tell you the gist of it. But I've taught the same stuff over and over and it doesn't even come out the same. It's weird. So I think God speaks through it in different ways. That's the only explanation I can come up with. I think he leads me. And I think certain things are more important to this group and other things to other people. It says in 1 Corinthians 12, there's different kind of gifts, but the same Spirit. There's different kinds of service, but the same Lord. Different kinds of working, but the same God is working all of them in all men. And to each, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. So I'm sharing this with you so you understand some things about how this works. Some of you, I think, have had the impression that I wing it up here. I never wing it. I got pages every time. Pages of notes, all carefully written. I don't wing it. I don't let the Spirit lead me. That's hogwash in my view. He leads when you work. You do your work and He'll come. You don't count on that and not do your work. You do your work. So I do it. But nevertheless, He can change things, and even when I write it, it doesn't always come out how I might have written it. What I want you to understand is two things as a close. Number one, you have a responsibility from your side in how you receive what I say. Years ago, a guy at our church said he wanted to take me to lunch. So I've learned over the years, when people take me to lunch, there's usually something bad. He took me to lunch and he started to rebuke me. He said he and his wife felt beat up by my sermons, and that they felt, they said, you rebuke and you speak against things, and you're always talking about sin and stuff, and you talk to us like we're not Christians. And why do you do that, Pastor? And I said, you know what, my friend, I said, I don't think you know what pastors do very well. I don't think you understand a pastor's job. What do you mean? I said, look, I don't just preach here on Sundays. I counsel every day of the week. Usually I'd have 2 to 5 people every day come to my office. I counseled all kinds of people. I had about 400 and some in the congregation. So I counseled all kinds of people. I counseled marriages that were having trouble. I counseled a lot of addicts. I counseled young men who died. I counseled them. One man, I broke into tears counseling him. He said, what's the matter? I said, I know you. I'm telling you what you got to do. But if you don't listen, I fear you're going to die. I did his funeral. He didn't listen. I had drug addicts. I had alcoholics. I had fornicators and adulterers. I had people living together. I had homosexuals. I counseled all kinds of people during the week. I know what the people are like in the church. There's all kinds of people in the church. I said, with 400 people, do you understand who I'm talking to? I got Christians there who are mature and been serving God for years. But I also have people that aren't Christians and they don't intend to be. They're there to meet girls or whatever. I got people who are in every kind of sin you can imagine. I got people who are brand new Christians. They need to learn. Do you understand that? I said, I can't give the same thing to everybody. When I counsel, do you think I say the same thing to everybody? He said, no. I said, see, I meet them and they tell me their stuff so I can deal with them and on that, whatever they told me. When I preach, I don't know. I just know what I meet during the week, and I know that people are in all kind of conditions. So when I preach, I give out this message that's for everybody. You have to discern. Jesus called it having ears to hear. You have to have ears to hear. If you're a Christian and you're born again and I say you got to be born again, you better be sure you're a Christian and I preach that, don't get offended and say, why is this guy saying this to me? I'm a Christian. How dare he say? If you already are, wonderful. Pray for the others who might not be, right? We're a small group here, so it's different. But still, I hope you get my point. If I'm rebuking, Paul said rebuke and correct. If I'm rebuking and that's not you, don't be offended. Don't take it personally. You better be serious with God, blah, blah, blah. You are serious with God, wonderful. That's not for you. Pray for somebody else. Maybe it's for them. So the one thing to do is you discern what you need. Now, be careful of this. Be real careful. Because like one time I had this couple was living together and I preached that that's fornication. God is against fornication. You won't inherit the kingdom if you live in fornication. You won't make it. Fornicators will not inherit the kingdom. But I preach that a lot, you know. But I also preached one time from Genesis. It says it's not good for the man to be alone. When they got home, this couple that was living together, the guy said to the woman, he said, "See that? The pastor said, what we're doing is good. It's not good for man to be alone." Dude, that's not for you. That's not for you. If you're married, you know, wonderful. You're not married, you're living in fornication. That's not what it means. You know, you got to interpret it rightly. You got to learn to discern and interpret it rightly. If you're with God, receive the encouragement from God. And don't take the correction. You know you're all right. But don't make excuses for yourself and say, "Oh, I don't like anything negative. That can't be for me." See what I'm saying? Be careful of that. Because if you bounce it all off of you like BB's off the rock of Gibraltar, and you don't let any of it enter, that's a danger. So that's the first thing I want to tell you. You need to discern. I'll be preaching through the Word of God, different parts. If it's for you, take it. Like we always say, eat the chicken, spit out the bones. Right? One other thing I want to suggest as a close, and that's just this. Your responsibility is also to pray. Because I come in here to be God's spokesman during this little time that we have. You need to be praying for me that God will bring forth what He wants for you. Amen? You have a part to play. If you don't pray for your pastor, you'll get what you don't pray for. You'll get what you pray for, too. If you pray for God to speak through me, He'll give you things from me. It's your responsibility to do that, not just mine. You have to do that. One more thing I'll just say, and that is, you know, Charlie gave me an idea. He says, you know, give him your hymn requests. I want to tell you, hey, you know what? Tell me things you want to know. Tell me things you want to learn about. Tell me parts of the Bible you'd like to hear addressed. It occurred to me. Paul wrote Corinthians because they wrote him letters. They asked him about this and this and this and this, and he wrote them a letter to address this and this and this. That's what he's doing there. He's answering their questions. So these guys would speak. They didn't just get it all from God direct. They got it from the people. The people say, "We need to know this. We need to know that. I'm having a problem with this or the other." So do that as well, okay? Would you do that for me? That's something I want you to do. I just wanted to share this with you so you'd know a little bit about what it's like to be a pastor, what I'm trying to do, where I'm trying to take us. I'll be doing different series as we go along. I'll be teaching through the Word, and I'm a Levite. I'm a scribe. I just teach through it, okay? But I'll go off on tangents and stuff. Sometimes God is leading. If you're praying for that, that'll be God. But you have to discern, and you have to pray. Amen? Amen. Let's pray together. And then we'll have our final hymn. Heavenly Father, I shared what I thought you wanted me to share today. I pray that you'd bless this congregation to be able to hear what you're saying and to discern when it's a word for them, when it's not a word for them. And Lord, I pray that you would continue to just give me the messages you would have for this group here, as well as that other little group up the street. Lord, who am I that I should even touch the Bible, much less try to preach it? I know I'm not worthy. I know I'm not capable. I need your empowerment by your Spirit. I need your guidance. I need you to speak, Lord. I'm just a vessel of clay trying to bring forth your word. Holy Spirit, we depend on you in this place. We need you to speak and to teach us and to correct us, both pastor and people. We all need you, Lord. And so we ask for your guidance in all that is done here, in the preaching of your word, that it might equip us, that we might be apt and properly strengthened and encouraged and taught so that we can live this life you call us to. We pray it in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Amen.
Thanks for listening today. If you have any comments, questions, or prayer requests, I'd be happy to receive them from you. Just scroll down and you can send them from the website directly. Also, if you'd like to support this ministry, you can do it on the website by clicking the donate button or contact me to make a different arrangement. Thank you.